Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to episode 30, Why Women Leave Their Financial Advisor, with Judy Parody and Paulette Fillion, who are both partners at strategymarketing.ca. This is an incredibly important topic that we're going to talk about, and we have two specialists on who are going to really give us some good insight on what happens and why women leave their financial advisor. So before we dive into the content, hey, Judy, where are you talking to us from today?
I'm in Toronto.
You're in Toronto.
And it's a lovely day.
Wonderful. Paulette, where are you at?
I'm in Hamilton, and it's a lovely day here, too.
Fantastic. And Kirk's in Toronto, and I'm here in Portage, Michigan. So let's dive right into this. And there are some pretty startling statistics. 80% of women leave their financial advisors when they lose or leave their husband. So can we break that down, please?
Yeah, it is rather astonishing, isn't it? 80% of women leave their advisors when they lose their husbands. And, you know, Paulette and I have interviewed many, many women and a lot of anecdotal evidence. And they cite things like, I hardly knew him. He mostly spoke to my husband. So these are family advisors that are dealing with a husband and wife team. And she'll say things like, he treated me like I was an extension of my husband. You know, he didn't listen to me if I asked questions. I felt patronized. I just simply couldn't relate to him. So I just got really sick of it. But the thing that topped it all off and what made them the most angry is they said that when my husband died, they just simply assumed that they were going to keep the account. They did nothing to reach out to me personally. I found that very offensive. This was pretty much across the board.
Wow. Well, thank you, Judy. Now, Paulette, we want to make sure that this doesn't happen to the advisors that are listening to this show right now. So what are some of the ways that we can make sure this isn't going to happen to you?
Well, there's actually four ways that Judy and I talk about to make sure that that doesn't happen to an advisor. First, treat her as a separate person when you're dealing with the couple. When you're talking to the husband and finding out what they want in retirement, ask her too how she sees retirement, what's important to her. Secondly, well before the husband dies, develop a relationship with her. That means talking to her and engaging her in the investment discussions, making her a partner, so to speak. The third way is when the husband dies, reach out to her, reassure her that she need not make any financial decisions right away, and that you'll be there to help her make the ones that she will need to make later on. And the fourth way is after the husband dies, don't assume the account is just going to be a transfer of name. Treat her like a brand new client and really begin the relationship all over again with one individual, her.
I'm not sure how our listeners are going to feel about this, but hearing those first two pieces of information that you shared with us, as a professional, that's really frustrating to me to know that financial services professionals are doing this. How can one of you attack the why question here? Why is this still happening? Last time I checked, it was 2017, and this sounds to me like 1950s behavior. What am I missing?
Yeah, this is Judy. Unfortunately, it's institutionalized. Advisors have done what they have done, and they've been successful at it for many years, and it's very, very hard for any of us to change. There are ways that they can add value, so they have to actually consciously think about, what can I do? How can I treat these as two separate people? It is sad that in 2017 it still exists, but unfortunately even the younger male advisors are learning at the heels of the older guys, as it were. Mm-hmm. Having said that, there are ones that are doing it right, and there's more and more people and advisors listening. And I think women have come into their own in the last number of years, where there's a recognition that they really are not a niche market anymore. But they are the market. You better pay attention to them if you actually want your business to survive and grow.
I don't know how 51% is a niche market. Sorry. Add that
it's
to
not.
Me. Yeah.
I'd like to add something to that,
good.
Matthew. This is Paulette. I have yet to meet a financial advisor that said, well, I'm going to deliberately try to ignore the woman. I mean, oftentimes what we hear from financial advisors is she just wasn't interested, or she didn't want to come to the meetings, or she let her husband drive all the investment decisions and didn't seem to be that interested in it. And what we say is absolutely that happens, but advisors have to figure out a way to engage her in a conversation that's meaningful to her. And we tell them, focus in on what's important to her rather than on the portfolio construction and what's happening in terms of the investments.
Let's dive into ways advisors can create value just like that, Paulette. So, Judy, tell us some of the things that you help advisors realize that they can add to their practice, or in some instances take away from their practice, to add value to female clients.
Absolutely. A little bit of this will be somewhat repetitious to what we're saying, but it is a matter of repetition. Seeing the wife and the husband as two separate people with different wants and needs. So like I said, if he says, you know, I want to go to Scotland and golf when we're retired, and men will often use when we're retired, doesn't mean that that's what she wants to do. So engage them both in the discussion. And if you feel that there's some pushback, then take the additional step and stand up for her needs and say, hey, listen, I think we better listen to Mary, because it's not necessarily a given that she's wanting to do the same things that you do. So really, really, all we can say over and over again is to understand that they're two people, engage them, listen to them, look them in the eye. And, you know, you said on what you shouldn't do, and all too many advisors do this. A, they talk too much. They're so intent on proving how good their services are. How they invest is better than how anybody else invests. They speak jargon frequently. They use acronyms that they assume everybody knows. Frequently ignore women. And this comes back to women saying, I felt patronized, or he didn't listen to me. And just literally seeing her as an appendage to her husband. And they really forget the fact that she will be the client. With boomers dying, she will be the client long before the kids even get it.
I find that real interesting, Judy, because I think that's the way most advisors approach their marketing. We talk about it all the time, using jargon, not speaking to them on their terms. We had a gentleman on one of our most recent podcasts who has a behavioral finance assessment. It's an incredible tool to get to know people. And that would be an interesting thing to do with a husband and wife.
Matt, absolutely.
Yeah. Matt, I don't know if you remember talking to one of our clients probably about 6 or 8 months ago. And he told me a story about how he did this. He goes through a holistic planning process and really tries to break down what each spouse wants in the relationship and wants with their life. Not in the relationship with each other, but what's wanting in their life. And he actually, because his process was so thorough, the couple actually realized that they should not be together for not a day, and they divorced. And to this day, I said, wow, that must have been really tough on your relationship with them. He said, no, the opposite. He said, they were so appreciative that I actually set them up for the rest of their life, because they realized that what each of them wanted was so different. They just weren't going to be happy. And they kind of figured it out before they had to live the rest of their life, you know, with regrets. So I just think, you know, as far as your process, there's a lot of great insight, Judy and Paulette, that you're providing. And as far as marketing, it's the same thing. You know, so anyway, great, great stuff.
Well, let's dive into some surefire ways to acquire new female clients. And you're both going to attack this, which makes me happy. I love the back and forth between you guys. You can tell that you guys are single-minded when it comes to this. And I love thought unification. So let's talk about this. What are some great ways for our advisors, from a marketing perspective, or even from a client service perspective, to surefirely, I think I just made up a word again, Kirk, but in a surefire way to acquire new female clients?
Okay. This is Judy. And yes, Paulette and I are not only like-minded, we're passionate about this, as you can probably tell. So yeah, there are, we've written a number of white papers and we blog frequently and we break it down into four very, very sort of distinct actions you can take. And I'll cover the first two. One is the most obvious, listen. So listen more than you talk. We call it listening with heart because there's a difference between listening and paying lip service. You know how your kids listen to you and they're rolling their eyeballs and looking at the ceiling? That's not really listening. Listening with heart is when you're taking in what the person is saying and you're acting on that, which means that if she says, you know, I went to Spain last year, you say, hey, tell me more about that. That sounds really interesting, rather than, well, when I went to Spain. And then just basic physical things. Sit with her, not across from her. Keep barriers away. Try and look at her. Ask questions that show you want to know more about her. So it's all about tell me more. Engage with her. The second one I'll address is speak her language. And I won't beat that to death. We've already talked about it. When you discuss her portfolio, translate it into things that matter for her, not rates of return, not piles of money, but talk about her goals. Will she be able to reach her goals in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? And what are her goals? And, you know, Paulette, perhaps you can address the other two that we talk about.
The third aspect of ways that to acquire new clients is to show respect. And we often talk to advisors who say, well, I'm quite respectful, actually. You know, I show up on time. I've got my notes. I've got an agenda. But respect is really seeing her as a partner, seeking her opinion. Well, what do you think about this, Mary? We're looking into investing in stocks that you know are going to grow. How do you feel about those stocks? And it doesn't mean that you're relinquishing the decision making to her, because she's going to look to you for the investments. But it's simply saying your opinion matters to me. And that's the way to show respect for women. And the fourth one is build her confidence. We sometimes talk about the fact that it's not that women really lack confidence. It's that they have very high expectations of not only themselves, but anyone who wants to do business with them. But in terms of find out what she knows and how she wants to be served, what's important to her, how often to reach out to her. Encourage her to learn more if she feels like she doesn't know anything. See her as a partner, even if she's not, you know, the super investor that you are. So those are the four things that we usually concentrate on when we're talking to advisors about how to acquire new female clients.
Well, you just talked about, go ahead, Kirk.
What's really interesting about this, Judy and Paulette, is if you're doing these four things, so listening, speaking her language, respecting, and build her confidence, what do women do when somebody offers all that? They do exactly what any advisor in the world would want to do. They share, right? Yeah. They tell other people.
They absolutely, women actually refer more people to financial advisors than their male counterparts. They want to tell their friends, they make great clients because they appreciate not just the investment returns that they get, but they appreciate all the additional services. They appreciate a financial plan. They believe in following a financial plan. They appreciate any small gesture that an advisor will do. They make great clients.
How do advisors integrate these steps into their marketing? So Judy talked about a white paper. What else do you have that advisors can use to do this, right?
Funny you should ask. We have a wonderful course called Retaining Female Clients. It's quite a comprehensive course. It's been spoken of very, very highly. Advisors that have, you know, some time to go through it, we'll go through it and reap great benefit from it. But we've also found that advisors are short of time frequently. So we broke that course into a series called our Connect Well series. And basically, it's a lot of the same content, but we have three separate courses in the Connect Wealth so far. We have how women make financial decisions, because it's very different than how men make financial decisions. We have another one that's on how to evaluate the risk of female clients leaving you. And in that, we have a proprietary risk calculator we had built for us. And the third one we have is four steps to success with female clients. And you can guess what those four steps might be. And last but not least, we're working on and interviewing a lot of advisors for prospecting for female clients. So we will either make that one course or maybe a couple of sort of mini courses in the Connect Well series. But prospecting definitely is the next big step, besides just retaining the existing clients, but prospecting for female clients. So we're busy.
Yeah, and you can find all of the white papers and information about all the courses on our website at strategymarketing.ca.
That's absolutely fantastic.
And everything that you guys are talking about is just as important and valuable and pertinent to American or Australian or British or Canadian advisors. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Women are women.
Sorry, Paula. Yeah, absolutely.
We even have a lot of, we have a pretty global reach. We have some good stats on our podcast.
Yeah.
And we definitely do.
I want everybody to realize that they need to listen to this again. And when you both say, well, I'm saying the same thing over and over again, I think it's so vital for advisors to be hit upside the head with this on a regular basis. I can't tell you guys how often I work with older male financial advisors. And when I ask the question about their retention of female clients after their husband passes or they get a divorce, and they will say, well, it's not very good, but I'm great with women. And I just sit back and I think to myself, what, you know, goodness gracious. And as Kirk had said, these four steps are so similar to what we have consistently talked about on this podcast when it comes to overall marketing. This is specialized good marketing, but it's also overall just good marketing. You know what's a great thing to do as an advisor? Just shut up and listen. Ask open-ended questions. Make eye contact. I love the no barrier thing. That, to me, is brilliant. So many advisors don't get that. They sit on one side of the table. The client sit on the other side of the table. There's a physical barrier, which makes a psychological barrier there, too. I'm going to dive into this. If you don't mind, I'm not a financial advisor, but I have a feeling I can learn a lot. So I'm gonna look at this Retaining Female Clients course. I'm going to go ahead and get signed up for that because I really want to know what you guys are sharing. Now, we are going to have links to all of this. Is that right, Kirk?
Absolutely. They'll be in the summary for the podcast on our Podbean channel, which is topadvisormarketing.podbean.com.
Fantastic. Judy and Paulette, is there anything that you'd like to add to wrap up today?
I think it was wonderful. I enjoy talking to you very much. Like you said, just, you know, listen. I have to say what I'm going to go away with is my favorite thing that you said is a lot of advisors need to be hit upside down the head. I love that. But anyway, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining us. And hopefully we can have you back real soon.
Thanks for giving me a chance to, or us a chance to do this again.
Wonderful. Well, this was episode 30, Why Women Leave Their Financial Advisors, with Judy Paraday, the partner at strategymarketing.ca, and Paulette Fillion, another partner at strategymarketing.ca. Make sure you go to the website, I'm going to say it the third time, strategymarketing.ca, to find out more about what they do and how they can help you retain and attract female clients. Thanks, and have a great day.